looking at part four of prayer, Matthew chapter 6. And we'll pick up with verse 9, Matthew 6 and verse 9. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we've looked at verse 9. We must personally know God as our Father because we're not born that way. We're born sinners. Number 2, we looked at from verse 9, the last part of it. We need to truly fear or revere God. Number 3, from verse 10, we looked at we need to truly desire that God would reign not only in the future, but also right now in our hearts and lives. So we're on number 4. We need to truly trust God for our daily food. We need to trust God for our daily food. Verse 11, we're instructed to pray, give us this day our daily bread. You know, in this regard, we can run into the same thing that the very wealthy run into. Notice with me, if you hold your place here, in Mark 10, Mark chapter 10, the very wealthy have a temptation before them. Mark 10, 23. And let's see what it says. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that, what? Trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That phrase, trust in riches, that's the key clincher. Verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men, it is what?
Impossible.
We can't save ourselves. With men, it is impossible, but not with who?
God.
With God. For with God, all things are possible. So what is it that the very wealthy face? What is the temptation, the stumbling block before them? To trust in their riches. You know, if you were looking for a new car, you'd say, well, Lord, what car should I get? And if it's something you might have to save up a little more to get. But for the very wealthy, it would be like, I don't have to save up for a car. Whatever car I want, I just go get it. And maybe you save up regularly. I know we try to do that too for the next time a vehicle is needed. So, but for the very wealthy, it's like The temptation is, well, I don't have to pray about that. I've got the money in the bank. Why do I have to pray to God about it when I can already meet this need? That is the problem when we get self-sufficient and we don't really look to the Lord. Notice in Psalm 49. So that self-sufficient attitude flows over into eternal matters as well. Did any of you happen to see or read Brother Cloud's article this week on science fiction? Did anyone see that? Okay. You ought to get a hold of that and read it. It's just, he always does his research, but he's got a list of people. I wouldn't even know who they are, but they are some of the big names that created science fiction stuff. Like the one thing I recognized was Star Trek. I recognized that name. But there's all kinds of other, I don't know, maybe they're books, movies, or both. I don't know, about science fiction that are real big stuff. It's amazing how many of those guys were just downright atheists. Atheists. It's kind of like the Beatles and the song they made years ago about Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven and no hell. Well, now you know the mindset of one of the big early rock and roll groups that came into America. I believe they were from England. But so it's amazing just the great influence that some people have over the masses of people. But they're atheists. That was pretty amazing. You ought to read that article. But Psalm 49 and verse 6. Psalm 49:6. The Bible says, and here's that key phrase again, they that what? Trust in their wealth. Okay? Jesus said they trust in their riches. Here, trust in their wealth. And boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means what? Redeem his brother. Jeff Bezos can't redeem his brother if he has one. I don't know what he has in his family, siblings. But if he has any siblings, he can't redeem one of them with all of his billions. I was just reading that, I don't know if it's the World Health Organization or if it was the National Health Organization. I forget who, but anyway. So someone challenged these billionaires to give, I think it was $6 billion or something. And at first it sounded like if some of these billionaires would just fork it over, we could feed the world. And so Elon Musk says, I'll liquidate $6 billion of my stock if you will show me point by point what you're going to do with it, how you're going to do it. Well, then the guy says, well, that was taken out of context. $6 billion wouldn't feed the whole world. And so, well, how much do you want, you know? Endless. I don't think Elon Musk will ever get a list from that guy. I don't think he has a clue. Just want the money, I think. But so these ultra-wealthy people, they can't redeem one soul with all of that money. So the key there in verse 6 is they that trust in their wealth. Verse 7, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. Now, there have been some very wealthy and very godly people. So it's not money that's the evil, and you already know the answer to this, but let's look at a couple things here. Genesis 13. Genesis 13:2. One very wealthy man was Abraham, and he was saved. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Genesis 13:2. And Abram was what?
Very rich.
Very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he was called the friend of God. Notice in James 2:23. The Bible says, and a scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham, what?
Believed
God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called what?
The friend of God.
The friend of God. So when someone says, well, it's evil to be rich, well, that is not true. Abraham was very rich, and he was a godly man. Look at Job, Job chapter 1. Job was very wealthy. He was the most wealthy man in all of his area. And he was also very godly, very wealthy, very godly. In Job 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was what? The greatest of all the men of the East. So he was the richest. He was the most wealthy. And he was an extremely godly man. So you already know the answer to that, but let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. So it's not money that's the root of all evil. And you know what it is. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the what? The love of money is what? The root of all evil, which while some coveted after. You see, we don't have to be wealthy to commit the sin of the love of money. There's a lot of people that waste a lot of their money on lottery tickets. See, they have the same love for money that the wealthy do. The wealthy man or woman loves the great riches that they have, and the poor person would love to be that rich. Both love the money. So it's the love of the money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So, how does this all work in with us? And what does this have to do with praying for our daily food? Well, let's go back to it. It's hard for the very wealthy to trust God because they have so much wealth that it's hard to remind them to pray for something because in their mind is, I can go buy that. I don't have to pray for it. I've got the money for it. I'll just go get it. If I want it, I'll go get it. But then the problem with that is we become self-sufficient. And what do we thank God for? What are we trusting Him for? So how does that relate to us? Well, what do we have in abundance? Maybe we don't have money in abundance, but the harvest is just coming to a close. Maybe we've got food in abundance. Last evening, there were a bunch of peelers, real peelers in our house. Not bad. Good potato peelers, okay? All right, I mean, we can say, oh, wow, I'm all set for food. Hey, if the economy crashes, I got enough food. You see what I mean? In the same way, we can make the same mistake. We can trust in our stash. Now, we had a birthday party the other night, and a little one got some candy, and someone recommended, well, put it right in that drawer. You know, get your stash. With food, it's the same way, and I'm not knocking laying up food. The Bible just says that's wise. But the problem is we can get the freezer full this time of the year. We can get the pantry full. We can get the basement shelves full, wherever you stock your food. But the problem is are we really trusting the Lord? Give us this day our daily bread? Or are we saying, I don't need to pray for daily bread because my pantry's full? It's like in the scriptures. He had a bumper crop and I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So we may not have, you know, the major stock and the banks in town. But in the same way, we can still, when it comes to this food matter, we can still think, I don't need to pray for daily bread. My cupboards are full. It's been a bountiful harvest. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This was one of the problems that Israel had. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth what? The whole lump. That is the problem with not praying for our daily bread or any of our daily needs. Just thinking, well, I don't need to pray for daily bread. I've got food. And so it's like leaven. That spirit kind of oozes over into all of our lives then. We forget to go before the Lord and trust Him. Israel faced that. Deuteronomy 8, verse 6. Deuteronomy 8, 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of what? Wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt what? Eat bread without what? Scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast what? Eaten. And what? Art full. I won't ask you who is full here right now. But when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless who? The Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou, what? Forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, there it is again, eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Remember what we've been talking about? Whenever we have an abundance, the temptation before us is not to look for God. We look to our abundance. Oh, I don't have to pray for bread today. The pantry, the freezer's full, the cupboard's full. I don't have to pray to God about buying this thing. The bank is full. That's the problem. Verse 14. Then thine heart be what? Lifted up, and thou what? Forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, what? My power and the might of what? Mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt what? Remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Do you realize? Tomorrow something could happen to us that we couldn't even get out of bed tomorrow. And the rest of our lives, we could be paralyzed, never be able to work another day in our lives, never to be able to clean the house again, never to be able to do the dishes again. Don't say amen on that. You know what? If we were paralyzed, we would be happy to be able to do the dishes or to clean the bathrooms or sweep the floors or wash the car or mow the grass. If we were totally paralyzed, we would love to be able to do those things. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. It's whenever we have an abundance, the temptation is to always look to our abundance instead of God. And that's what Israel did. And they end up getting booted out of the land. And we have so much as Americans. You know, you just visit a mission field and we realize we are just spoiled here. We are just spoiled. Now, are you one that when you eat, savors the food? Or are you looking at, well, you don't look at watches anymore, do you? It's your phone. Unless you have an Apple Watch. Some people still look at watches, but most of the world now just looks at their phone, their cell phone. But are you one of those that when you sit down, it's like, oh, I got to hurry up and eat this because I got things to do. I got things I want to do. Or are you one that savors the food? I remember years ago I was told, you're supposed to chew everything you eat 100 times. Wow. By the time you retired, you wouldn't have any teeth left. They'd all be ground down, I think, if you did that. The dentist always told me, you know, your teeth really shouldn't touch, you know. Well, I guess that just means you always got to keep food between them, right? But that doesn't work out too well either. So, are you one that really savors your food when you eat it, or are you just in a hurry? I think the food, it does taste better if you slow down a little bit. Oftentimes, I think I'm the last one. I used to be the fastest one, and now I think I'm about the slowest one eating. But I think we would all do well to slow down on one thing, and that is when we pray and thank God for the food. You know, you might be in a conversation at the table, and then someone says, well, why don't we pray so we can begin eating and then finish this conversation? So the problem is, okay, interrupt this conversation, quick pray, back into the conversation. I don't really think that's how God intended it, do you? And we're really not thinking about it much. Has there ever been a time at a meal when you were about to start and you said, wait a minute, did we pray? Have you ever thought that? Well, are we really thinking about what is being said, or is it just, you know, a routine? Just a routine. Do we think about it? Do we think about what's on the table? I mean, when we're praying for the food, do we even know what we're about to eat? Have we even noticed? Sometimes we just, we're too quick and we don't even think. Notice in 2 Chronicles 7. So God tells us to pray for our daily bread. Do we? Do we really pray for our daily bread? 2 Chronicles 7:13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are what? Called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, how does the land need healing? If you go back to verse 13, it's because God shuts up heaven that there's no rain, or sends the locusts to devour our food, our crops. On many different products, I've seen this disclaimer. It says, this product is known by the state of California to cause cancer. I've seen that on faucets. I've seen it at gas pumps. I've seen it on all kinds of products, just a variety of things. This product is known by the state of California to cause cancer. But there is one thing that the all-knowing whoever of California does not know: how to bring rain. How to bring rain. What's their problem? Well, it's verse 14 is what they're missing. It's humbling themselves before God. You know, they push the sodomite agenda. They push the abortion agenda. It seems like a lot of bad agendas in America come either from California or New York. Both coasts, a lot of bad things come in. I think the state of California definitely has something to learn about what causes rain and what causes it not to rain. The rain doesn't come, the drought comes, they suffer fires over and over and over. But they just don't seem to learn. Well, we need to humble ourselves before God. Let's go back to Matthew 6. Matthew 6:11. Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. So, how long has it been since we prayed for our daily bread? I don't mean just thanking God for the food, but asking God to provide our food and thanking for the provision he has provided. I think if we stop and think about it, it's just like the very wealthy who are tempted to not pray about many things because they have the means to just go get it. And is it that same? Especially this time of the year, I mean, it can really hit home with us. You know, we're trying to be wise stewards and lay up for the winter. But in the same way, you know, what could happen to our stockpile? Well, Brother Reese's family suffered a fire. The same thing could happen to us. And we could lose our stockpile. Real easy. So may God help us to be humble and thankful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. I pray that you would forgive us when we trust our own stash, whether it's trusting in the money that we have saved up or trusting in the food that we have prepared or whatever it is, Lord. We realize, Lord, everything here can be taken from us. Every material thing can be taken from us. And Father, I pray that you would help us to acknowledge that every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father of lights. Father, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you provided a good season here in Michigan. You gave us many good rains, a good harvest. And Lord, we acknowledge that that is all from you, for we do not deserve it, what you have provided. And so, Father, even though we may have laid up some things for the winter, I pray you'd help us realize that that is a gift from you, and only you can preserve that food. And so, Lord, we do look to you for our daily bread. And, Father, I pray if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, that they would realize tonight that Jesus is the bread of life, the one that came through a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, giving his blood for our sins, that we might be saved. The one who died, was buried, and rose again in victory, proving that his pure and precious blood was sufficient to wash away the sin of the world. Father, please help us. We want the world to realize that, to hear that message, and to be saved. And please help us as Christians. Lord, in our own little way, are we trusting in our own little stash of whatever it might be? I pray that our trust would be in you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our